Track 1. Craig y Ddinas. When your great-great-grandfather was a boy, this car park was a bustling hive of activity. Men and machines chipped and blasted great lumps of limestone here to provide stone for local houses and roads. Today, only climbers and abseilers do battle with the dramatic rock face of Craig y Ddinas, the rock of the fort. This area has taken quite a hit over the years. Limestone was not the only stone quarried here. Pure sandstone, called silica rock, was also hacked out from the earth. The crushed silica rock was made into bricks, stamped with the word Ddinas to show where they had come from. These bricks were used in huge and very hot ovens, called furnaces, that were used to make steel and iron. In the 1800s, South Wales was the iron and steel-making capital of the world. Although Ddinas means fortress in Welsh, in some countries it means firebrick, thanks to the blocks of silica that came from these hills. All this mining activity has left a honeycomb of tunnels in the ground beneath our feet. Further tunnels and caves in this area are believed to be the home of fairies and even a whole army. That story will have to wait until we near the end of our walk together. At our next stop, we'll see rocks folded like plasticine and discover how the silica rock was carried down a small waterfall. Track 2. Scudai Sychryd, Sychryd Cascade. Look at that huge rock on the other side of the river. Not surprisingly, it's called Bua Main, meaning stone arch. Millions and millions of years ago, the layers of rock that you see folded up were flat. Before that, they were the seabed of a shallow tropical lagoon. So what on earth happened? Well, although you can't feel it, the earth is very slowly pushing and pulling against itself. Here, the rocks have been pushed so hard, they've folded up to create this dramatic curve. Can you imagine how hard it must be to bend rocks? There is more evidence of this pushing and pulling too. The river runs along what's called the Ddinas Fault. That is to say, Bua Main once used to occasionally slide past the rocks on this side of the river. Each time the rocks ground against each other, an earthquake shook the region. In recent centuries, only gunpowder has shaken these rocks. And it was through this gorge that miners transported lumps of blasted sandstone from their mines above. We'll visit a mine entrance later. Silica rock was carried down this waterfall in buckets, hanging from ropes or cables. It was then emptied into waiting trams that ran the length of the path we've just walked. Can you see the remains of this track and the concrete bases of pylons from which the cables were hung? Let's head to stop 3, where we will discover why this place is called the Rock of the Fort. Track 3. Ddinas Rock Hill Fort. Are you tired after all that climbing? When mines littered this hillside, ponies pulling carts full of rock also had to use this track. Think too about the people who once lived up here. During the Iron Age, around 2,500 years ago, this was the place to be. This steep-sided headland provided brilliant all-round views across the area. Any spirited tribes keen on a fight would have literally faced an uphill struggle to topple the fort's residents. Walls of piled-up rocks on which large wooden posts, lined up like pencils, would have further protected the people inside. You'll see the remains of one of the stone walls, or ramparts, as you leave this long, thin fortress further along this path. Where we stand now was the heart of the fort. It would have been full of hustle and bustle. People living alongside their animals, iron workers pounding their newly discovered metal to make lethal weapons that would slice an enemy in two. After leaving the fort over the ramparts, look for directions to stop 4. Take care, as there are some steep steps ahead. Track 4. Silica Mine. Do you remember standing next to Bua Main where the rocks had been folded and squashed together? If you had clambered up the rocks along the river, and some people do, you'd have arrived here a little wetter, no doubt. You can see where the silica came from, that brick-lined entrance on the left as you came down those steep steps. Can you see other mine entrances too? Working in this and other mines was a dangerous job, as the miners blasted and picked their way through an area the size of 100 football or rugby pitches. They left pillars of anchored rock to support the roof. Don't think about venturing inside. The mine is unsafe as the roof gradually collapses into the flooded tunnels. In the open area that we are standing in, can you see evidence of buildings that once stood here? Close to the river, there was a building where the lumps of rock were crushed, and a little further upstream, there was a powder store where the gunpowder was kept. We learn a little more about gunpowder at our next stop, but first you'll need to head all the way back up those steps again. Track 5, the gunpowder works. If you were to follow the path down to the left, you'd arrive at the gunpowder works. It was built close to the water so that the river could turn the water wheels and power the machines. The gunpowder was made from 3 things. One is all around us. Can you guess? It's wood. Well, charcoal, actually. But to make charcoal, you have to slowly heat wood until all the water is removed. All you're left with are black, sooty sticks. The other ingredients are saltpetre, which until the 17th century came from pigeon droppings collected by royal command from all over the country, and sulphur, which came from volcanoes. Goodness only knows how someone worked out how these 3 could make gunpowder. In any event, these ingredients were crushed, mixed, and then made into a cake before being turned into grain or pellets. Before the gunpowder could be used in the mines, it had to be tested. How was that done? Well, by shooting an 8-inch cannonball a certain distance. If the powder failed, the batch was destroyed. If you go down to the gunpowder works sometime, you'll see all the buildings are spread apart. Why do you think that might be? Remember what it is they were making. It's now time to move on again. Track 6, the abandoned farm. Did you know that you're standing in the middle of a farmyard? Well, it was this time last century. It would have been a tough life. The farmers had no fuel besides wood, no water except for what they collected from streams, and it was a long walk to the nearest village. To get to school, it was a 3-mile walk to Pontnaith Fechan or a 4-mile walk to Ystrad Felle. The building you can see on the right was where the family lived. The left-hand building was a barn. Sheep and the odd cow would have been grazing in the fields around us. But what fields, I hear you say? It was only in the 1980s that the softwood trees were planted. As you can see, they've grown very quickly to transform this old farmland. Had the coal fields of South Wales still been in operation, this timber would have been used to make pit props, frames to keep mines from collapsing. As we make our way to stop 7, see if you can find another farm and have a think about what this wood could be used for today. Track 7, King Arthur's Cave of Refuge. All these trees in the valley remind me of a local tale. A young Welsh shepherd was walking over London Bridge with a hazel staff when he was met by a strange old man. The man asked the boy to show him the tree the stick was cut from, as he said a sight to behold was buried beneath it. The boy took the old man, who was in fact a wizard, to a tree somewhere along the path we have walked.
"This is the place," said the boy. The wizard knelt down by the tree and started digging with his hands. He soon found a hole. The boy helped, and they made a hole big enough for them to get in. After lighting a candle, they could see steps down into the cave and a huge bell by the entrance. "Whatever you do, don't touch the bell," warned the wizard. As they looked around, they couldn't believe their eyes. Hundreds of knights in shining armour were lying on the cave floor. "These are King Arthur's knights," Don't worry, they're all asleep, waiting until someone rings the bell in Wales's hour of need. Arthur will rise and save Wales, said the wizard to the worried-looking boy. In the farthest corner of the cave, the boy noticed a large, majestic figure sitting on a huge throne. King Arthur! Exclaimed the boy. In the middle of the cave, something was glistening in the candlelight. As they got closer, it turned out to be a huge pile of treasure. The wizard's face took on a strange look, and he started stuffing his pockets with silver and gold. The boy didn't join in. He was thinking of brave King Arthur and his knights waiting patiently to save Wales, and this greedy wizard stealing their treasure. He sneaked to the entrance and struck the bell hard with his staff.
So what happened? To hear the end of this story, make your way to the last stopping point, the waterfall called Fall of Snow. Track 8. Scudereira, Fall of Snow. I see you're keen to hear more about the tale of King Arthur. Before we complete this story, take a look ahead. You have probably guessed why Scudereira is called Fall of Snow. If you're brave enough to stand behind it, you'll really feel a sense of magic as the water pleasingly cascades down in front of your nose. You could almost be standing in a blizzard, a noisy one at that. Speaking of noise, let's catch up with what happened when the shepherd struck the bell in the secret cave.
The clanging echoed around the cave. Then came the sound of clattering shields and clanking armour as the knights awoke from their slumber and got to their feet. In one voice they called, "Has the hour come?" A powerful voice replied, "No. Sleep on, my brave knights. A greedy old man and a strip of a boy have woken us before the appointed time." There was another clatter of shields and clanking of armour as the knights lay down and went back to sleep. The cave was silent once again. The two intruders slunk out of the cave and parted without a word. The wizard was never seen again. The boy went back to that hazel tree many times in his life to look for the entrance to Arthur's cave, but never found it again.
So, as you make your way back to the start of the walk, see if you can find King Arthur's cave. If you find it, let me know.